From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. It is National Night Out this evening. In my neighborhood in Ballard and many others throughout the city and the country, streets will be blocked off, tables will be set up, a grill will get fired up. Some streets will get pretty elaborate with bouncy houses, fire trucks, and even bands. And neighbors will hang out, people who may know each other very well or only by a casual wave, and some who don't know each other at all until they meet tonight. The ostensible purpose of National Night Out is crime prevention, and certainly knowing your neighbors promotes responsibility. But there's something more basic going on, just getting to know the people who are living around you. Every year for National Night Out, we like to talk about what it means to be a good neighbor and swap stories about the best and worst neighbors you ever had and the best and worst neighborhoods. Share a story? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Here's what we heard from some of you a couple years ago.
Good neighbor is someone that keeps quiet and is respectful of your wishes.
Someone you can count on and who counts on you.
Somebody that's not loud, doesn't have a party at 2 a.m.
Friendly, outgoing, willing to help when needed, considerate.
Someone who's friendly and warm and approachable.
Well, as with any other relationship, communication is good. Friendliness, preferably not too many screams in the night.
I honestly don't know any of my neighbors very well. I'd say hi to them, but beyond that, that's basically the relationship that we have.
It's amazing. This is the first place I've lived where I think we know almost everyone on our block by name, which is really important also, is getting to know their name, obviously.
There's a neighbor down the street named Zephyr, and he's really great. There used to be an older guy who lived next door to him, and he would mow his lawn for him. And he's very friendly to everyone on the street and helps wherever he can and is very involved in bringing the community together.
Yeah, I've had a bad neighbor years ago. She had dogs, lots of dogs, unruly dogs. It finally came to a head because the dogs bit an old man and they had to go to court and all that. But I just tried to walk the other way, actually.
I've got this little old lady who's Greek. I think she's got dementia and something like that, so she chases me down the hallway swearing at me in Greek.
They killed my dog because they said that I shouldn't have a dog because they don't believe in dogs, and he put poison in my dog's food.
I came in and he was being really noisy about something after I'd repeatedly asked him to not be, and you know, he started arguing with me and it just went to fisticuffs. Sometimes I have a short temper.
You can't trust too many people nowadays. So when you get new neighbors, they want to do all that housewarming, come in and see your house. But I suggest, you know, you just leave your neighbors as your neighbors.
There you have it.
Not your friends.
The sweep of neighbors, good neighbors, bad neighbors. And that last thought, it's best to leave your neighbors as your neighbors instead of your friends. An interesting thought. You maybe need a little bit of a cushion around you, people who you're going to be friendly with and know them, but not know them too well. We're talking about what it means to be a good neighbor and the worst neighbors you've ever had at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Now, of course, these things might change. Maybe that bad neighbor all of a sudden turned into a good neighbor over time. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe as you listen to those stories, you said to yourself, oh, my God, I was the bad neighbor. It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Maybe you're celebrating National Night Out this evening. What are you going to be doing in your neighborhood? Why is it important for you to participate in that? 206-543-5869. Greg's listening to us up on Queen Anne Hill. Greg, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You have this sounds like a bad neighbor story.
Yes, I actually just moved away from a bad neighbor about a month ago. This was in Missouri, and every Sunday morning he would steal our paper at about 6 a.m. right when it got there, and return it about 4 or 5 hours later. But there'd be coffee stains and orange juice stains and half-done crossword puzzles. It was really weird.
Did you do a DNA test? Are you sure it was your neighbor?
We ended up waking up at 5 a.m. one Sunday morning and staking him out, and we caught him in the act. So,
and what did he do when you confronted him as he tried to steal your Sunday paper?
We just knocked on the window and, you know, made angry and kind of confused faces. It was 5 a.m. after all. And he, kind of turned around and walked away. But then about 3 or 4 weeks later, it continued.
That is so weird. What's also weird about that, Greg, is that he returned it.
Right. And he would, we caught him doing that a few times. He would open his laundry room window and just throw it onto our driveway. And he'd put it back in, like, the plastic wrapping and everything. It was super interesting.
God, you must have wondered, what's going on in this guy's head?
Exactly. He just loved his paper, I guess, but couldn't pay the, you know, $2 fee to get it.
And he probably could have waited till noon, and you probably would have happily given it to him after you'd read it.
Exactly. And even if he even asked once, it would have been okay. But wow. And the half-done crossword puzzles was a real low blow.
Greg, thanks for telling us about that. We're at 206-543-5869. It's National Night Out tonight. Maybe you know about that because you're having a block party in your neighborhood. Maybe you don't. Maybe you should. We're talking about good neighbors and bad neighbors, the best and the worst of them, neighbors and neighborhoods. Mark's on Beacon Hill this afternoon. Mark, tell us about your neighbor.
Well, I moved in about a year ago, and I started dating my neighbor.
Well, that's a very friendly relationship.
It is. It is. It's pretty convenient.
As long as you're dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I always run to the worst thing that could happen. You stop dating. That's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, you got to talk about all those boundaries and make sure you're putting, you know, your quality of life and what's important first. But we got that out of the way, and it seems to work really well.
So how did it turn from maybe a conversation over the fence or a friendly wave to dating?
It was just a few late nights sitting on the front porch.
That'll do it.
Yep.
Hey, Mark, thanks for telling us about that. So the neighbor who turned into the date for Mark, 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. We all have neighbors. We've all had experiences of neighbors. Share your experiences with us. I'm always interested in how Seattle neighborhoods are changing from single-family homes to townhouses to apartments. What's your neighborhood like if it's changed a lot lately when it comes to that neighborliness we like to have? People at least knowing each other, kind of looking out for each other. Has it changed from one sort of neighborhood to another because of different types of housing? And how does that affect the neighborliness and the neighbors? Give me a call, 206-543-5869. Here's something else we heard earlier from you.
When I lived in Seattle, I had neighbors who were breeding pit bulls that never went outside and barked all night long. I had to call the animal control on them several times, and it turns out they were pretty violent. At one point, a painter that worked for them showed up to get paid, and the guy stabbed him in the middle of the street with an antique samurai sword.
The worst neighbor I ever had actually fought me in court. After 10 years, she finally came to trial. As they were taking her in handcuffs from that final jury decision, she turned to me and said, "When you least expect it." Pretty spooky.
Severe bad neighbors. Got anything to match that? 206-543-5869. Bad enough to get stabbed by an antique samurai sword? The bad mojo. 206-543-5869. But let's hear about some good neighbors, too. Nancy's calling us today from Wedgwood, where she has a brighter, nicer story. Nancy, this is the best neighbor you ever had?
Absolutely. Can I say his name?
Sure, if he didn't mind.
This is a shout-out for Jim Corson in the Bryant neighborhood. He's our block watch captain. He keeps everyone involved in knowing what's going on, good and bad. He's organized little groups to an art gallery because one of our neighbors is an artist. He and his wife, Linda, host lovely neighborhood parties. Jim has us all organized. We know what our job is in the case of an emergency. And just yesterday, I told him I had yellow jackets, and so he dropped what he was doing, set up his shop vac, and spent over an hour sucking yellow jackets out of my vent.
What a great neighbor Jim is.
And on top of that, when he's not out kayaking or traveling, he is a leader in the Friends of the Burke Gilman Trail, a group that works tirelessly to tear out everything non-native from the Burke Gilman Trail and replant only non-invasive natural plants.
Wow, you sure don't want to lose Jim.
No, when I moved in, I was newly single and a little bit scared to live all by myself in a house, and I couldn't have lucked out more.
Nancy, thanks for telling us about Jim, the great neighbor who organizes the neighborhood. not just for block parties and things, but also on what to do in an emergency. I mean, emergency plans for a neighborhood is really a terrific idea. One person might have a generator. Another person might have certain other tools. Knowing what everybody has is really great. But there are the bad neighbors. We're talking about both kinds at 206-543-5869. And Susan in Leschi has an example of the latter. This is a bad neighbor story, Susan?
Yeah, this was a terrible neighbor story. This is when I lived in Philadelphia, and I had this neighbor who didn't like my dogs because I had little yappy terrier dogs. And he got my phone number off the town watch, the block watch group. So he had my home phone number. And it started with him leaving these long, long messages that were the local NPR station playing on my voicemail. It would go on for like 10 minutes.
Wait a minute. He would like call your number and then hold the phone up to the NPR station and just record off the radio? How'd you know it was him?
Well, eventually I did Star 69, and it went back, and he said his name, and, you know, because it was a voicemail, I got his message, too, so I could look on my town watch list and figure out it was him. So then I got him in person, and I confronted him, and he just started screaming at me about my dogs, and I was so rude because my dogs barked, and they kept him awake. And the other weird thing that he did that was a little frightening, I'm a psychologist, and I was working for a police department then, so I knew a lot about weapons. And he used to follow us with a little laser light up and down the block. And there are a lot of rifles that have a laser in their, aiming.
Weird. So you'd look down and see a red dot on you, and it would be him pointing.
Yes.
Wow.
So it would come from his window on the second story. He kind of lived across from me. I don't think it was really a rifle. At least I hope it wasn't, but it made me a little paranoid.
That is so creepy, Susan. But I got to say, this is not in his defense. This is unconscionable behavior. But barking dogs, really annoying.
I know. But the thing is, you know, all I had to do was like walk, you know, half a block, and I'd be out of his earsight.
But did you do enough to keep the dogs from barking and bothering him? I'm just asking.
Have you ever owned miniature schnauzers?
I have not, and that's one of the reasons
they bark. They bark.
Well, you have to live with it, and I guess he had to live with it too.
Well, he did. I have a suspicion. Someone on the block told me that he had been laid off from his job, and I think he may have been going through a rough time and was unemployed or something, because it did stop at some point. But
yeah.
Susan, it was awful.
That does sound awful. Susan, thanks for telling us about the neighbor who pointed a laser pointer at her when she walked down the street, so she thought she might have been targeted by a gun. Peggy's with us in Ballard, and somehow when you start on the bad neighbor stories, someone's always got one to top the last one, and we'll see if Peggy can do that for us. Peggy, good afternoon. What happened to you?
Well, first of all, I could top you all on good neighbor stories, and I could top you on bad neighbor stories, but what I wanted to address is how bonded together a block can be when you have a bad neighbor on the block. I mean, we had people who, during the time that there was an arsonist, were keeping propane underneath their deck. They would have fights and call the police and run to one of our houses during the night to pound on the door. So there was a stage where we all kept the phone by the bed so that, you know, you wouldn't have to get out of bed if you had to call 911. But we all kind of watched out for these people together because they had small children. And when their house burned when they were away, it was my neighbor who went out and cut his feet because there was broken glass spraying down the other houses so that they wouldn't get, they wouldn't catch on fire. And then we raised money.
Yeah.
And then these neighbors proceeded to rebuild their house, live in a trailer on the parking strip for 6 months, carrying the sewage and just, you know, pouring it out the back with barking dogs. And then when they got money from the insurance, they used it to buy a boat and go to Disneyland. But what I have to say is, our block was so close and so united, even though we wanted to help the children and we loved them. But in the meantime, we were having block parties and raising 19 kids and just looking out for one another because that's what you did.
And in some way,
bad neighbor.
In some way, the bad neighbor pushed you together.
It absolutely did. And then I felt like when they finally sold the house and went out with a big hurrah, they put all their garbage out on the street, they left the doors open, they set off fireworks, and they went off. And the next morning, a wonderful new family came in, and I've always said it was like that scene in The Wizard of Oz where the Munchkins come out because the Wicked Witch is dead.
Right, it went from black and white to color.
We went into color, and we all, came out, and we've been so happy. And I think even though it's been almost 15 years, there isn't a 4th of July block party that we don't say, it's so good to have you here.
You clicked your heels together, and you were home.
Yes, Peggy, absolutely.
Peggy, thanks for telling that story about the bad neighbor that kind of brought the neighbors together. Oh, we got a few more to share with you before we go.
Well, let me first tell you, my best neighbors are my immediate neighbors. We all had to get together and really get to know one another to deal with the worst neighbors. There's a family, and they've been running drugs from these houses and just basically terrorizing our neighborhood for the last 3 or 4 years. And what we've been doing about it is really getting to know one another, all of us, getting out and having a presence on the street.
I used to live on Queen Anne, and my wife and I went on a trip, though, one time, and we came home, and that night we didn't unload everything from the car, and our car had been broken into. And about 2 days later, my wife drove by this other person's house, and they were selling some of our things at a garage sale. She approached the woman, and she denied everything, and so when I got home, I went over to the house, which had beware of dog signs and no trespassing. So I went around kind of in the alley, and I looked in the backyard, and a tent of mine was set up in the backyard. So I called the police department, and nothing really came of it.
We lived in a little converted motel out on the Olympic Peninsula, so our little apartment places were right next to each other. And our neighbors had incredibly loud parties that turned into fights. And it culminated when they tried to kill the sheriff by shooting a shotgun into his home. They shot up the neighborhood. They ran around the neighborhood shooting a rifle into the air at about 2 o'clock in the morning, then drove over and fired 14 shots into the sheriff's house. The sheriff incident was the last straw. I just said, let's get out of here before they kill us or something.
Yeah, I think that's still the baddest neighbor story we have ever heard on this program. You can share your good and bad neighbor stories at our Facebook page. KUOW is The Conversation. And by the way, we've got a link there to something that might be of interest to you. It would have been Andy Warhol's 85th birthday. And to celebrate, they've started a live webcam of Andy Warhol's gravesite, which is kind of interesting to look at. You'll also find that at KUOW's The Conversation on Facebook. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.